installed, I think we would be better served to manage it in-house. I'm going to bring in my own security specialists and techs. I've done this in past positions, and I find it to be more economical and sometimes more efficient. Was this discussed with Mr. Bogart? Most certainly. We were finalizing our hires when he suddenly disappeared. He had made it clear to me that I was to keep my men in place. Unfortunately, he isn't here to substantiate that. We will make final payment to you when you present your itemized bill for installation plus consulting fees. Ranger smiled. I wish you the best of luck. I'm sure Mr. Bogart will make a speedy return from his leave of absence. We can only hope, Soon said. We were silent walking through the building. We buckled into Ranger's Cayenne, and he called his office.
I want a full report on Jeff Soon. I want it stat. Get me the name of the primary on the Bogart investigation, and get me permission to walk through Bogart's house.
He put the Cayenne in gear and drove out of the lot.
You didn't see that one coming, I said.
No, but it's beginning to pull together. I have to spend some time at my desk. I'm going to drop you at your car, and we'll pick this up later tonight. I'll send you a text when I'm leaving the building.
It was a little after 5 o'clock when we got to the office, and the lights were out. My car was parked at the curb. Its doors were locked, but Lula had placed the keys in our usual hiding spot on top of the left rear wheel. I had no plans to see Morelli, so I drove to my parents' house to mooch dinner. My grandmother opened the door for me. Her hair was red, and she was wearing black Pilates pants and a Harley Davidson t-shirt.
"What do you think?" she asked me. "I like the red. It's pretty."
And it was pretty, but it was going to take some time for me to get used to seeing it on Grandma.
I wanted a new look, Grandma said. Bertie gave me the t-shirt.
How's it going with Bertie?
It's going real good, but I'm not sure how long it's going to last. There's a lot of maintenance you got to do to keep up with the relationship. There's tweezing and shaving and moisturizing. Plus, you got to pretend you haven't already heard his jokes. And I think I might be getting a rash down there from riding on his motorcycle. I don't know if I'm cut out to be a biker chick.
Is that Stephanie? My mother yelled from the kitchen. Is she staying for dinner? Tell her we're having meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
I'm staying, I yelled back.
My father was in his chair watching television. I passed him on my way to the kitchen, and he grunted at me.
The news is terrible, he said. Every day it gets worse. I don't know why I watch.
Is Bertie coming to dinner? I asked Grandma.
No, I'm meeting him later at the funeral home. They finally released the body of the Bogart Bar guy, and his viewing is tonight. It's going to be big. I bet the TV people will be there. Bertie and I are going out after. We might go to the movies. There's a horror flick at the multiplex that Bertie wants to see. I think it's got zombies in it.
My mother was mashing the potatoes.
You can't go to the viewing dressed like that, she said to my grandmother, and I don't want to hear that you tried to get the lid up if it's a closed casket.
I'm hoping it won't be closed casket, Grandma said. I wouldn't mind seeing what a Bogart Bar man looks like.
I'm sure he doesn't look like a Bogart Bar man, my mother said. He's had an autopsy.
Yeah, I guess he would have melted by now anyway, Grandma said. Still, it would be interesting to see what's left.
Stephanie? My mother said, stir the gravy.
My grandmother took the meatloaf to the table, and I leaned toward my mother.
Whatever happened last night with Bertie and Grandma?
I don't know. I fell asleep on the couch, and when I woke up, it was morning. I guess he tiptoed past me.
Did you talk to Grandma?
No. I don't know what to say.
I wouldn't worry about it. I think it'll resolve itself. Where's the potatoes? Grandma said. We gotta keep on schedule. I don't want to be late or I won't get a good seat. Marion Wurzer is picking me up at 6:30 sharp.
We all took our places and filled our plates.
You should go to this viewing, Grandma said to me. The killer might be there. That's the way it is in the movies. The killer always makes a showing.
Why on earth would she want to see the killer? My mother said.
Gravy,
my father said. Grandma passed the gravy to him.
Everybody wants to see the killer, and besides, Stephanie is working with Ranger to get to the bottom of this.
I think you were switched at birth, my mother said, slanting a look at me, but you have the Mazur nose.
It's a good one, too, Grandma said. It's one of our best features.
Grandma might be right about the killer showing up at the viewing, but how was I supposed to recognize him? He wasn't going to have killer tattooed on his forehead. Plus,
I don't share Grandma's enthusiasm for viewings. The flower smell makes me nauseous. I don't like looking at dead people, and I'm not all that excited about talking to the live people.
I wonder if the Bogart people will be there, Grandma said. I'm hearing that the big Bogart guy, Harry Bogart, has taken off for parts unknown. It wouldn't be right if no one from the company showed up. I mean, the deceased was made into a Bogart bar. Seems like the least they could do is honor that memory.
I didn't think there would be much representation from the Bogart family. Possibly some co-workers, but even that seemed unlikely. When is the funeral? I asked Grandma.
Tomorrow morning. It's going to be a traffic stopper. Bertie and me are going on his motorcycle.
My mother gave a gasp. You are not.
Not what?
My father said.
Where's the dessert?
Grandma hurried off to the kitchen and returned with cookies.
These are store-bought cookies,
my father said.
What's this world coming to?
You always eat store-bought cookies, my mother said.
Not for dinner. I eat store-bought cookies for television.
Grandma went upstairs to change clothes, and I helped my mom clear the table. She's going to a funeral on a motorcycle, my mother said. She's going to wear a motorcycle helmet to the church, and when she takes it off, she's going to have red hair.
She's enjoying herself. I think it's okay. It's not like she's robbing banks.
Your Aunt Marge and Uncle Tubb moved to Scottsdale. They make it sound nice. I might like it there.
I don't think it's that easy. Grandma would go with you.
I could put her into senior living, my mother said. They have bingo every night. Her friend Alice Bestie is there. They could have dinner together.
Really?
No, but I like to think about it sometimes.
Grandma came into the kitchen to tell us she was leaving with Marion. She was dressed in skinny black slacks, a black and white checked jacket, a white shirt, and black flats. And she was topped off by her red hair.
My mother stared at her for a moment.
You look nice, my mother said.
Thank you, Grandma said. Don't wait up.
Chapter 25. I took the elevator because I didn't have the energy to walk up the stairs to my apartment. I let myself in, locked my door with three locks, and gave Rex a green bean. Ranger was going to call to do who knows what, and I was exhausted. It had been a long day. I stripped and stood in the shower until I felt a little revived. I might not be totally energetic, but at least I was clean. I dressed in a navy short-sleeved T-shirt and jeans, and I crawled into bed. The text message came in a little after 9. He would pick me up in 10 minutes. I dragged myself out of bed, laced up my running shoes, and went downstairs to wait for Ranger. I'm in and out of the building at all hours and don't usually feel vulnerable, but I had a hollow feeling in my chest tonight. The building seemed unusually quiet. The parking lot looked unusually dark. I had my messenger bag with a small canister of pepper spray, some plastic cuffs, and a stun gun that probably needed charging. Beyond that, I was unarmed. I was relieved when I saw Ranger's headlights swing in. He was still driving the Porsche Cayenne and wearing the black rangeman fatigues. I relaxed when I got in beside him.
"What's the plan?" I asked.
"I have unauthorized permission to go into Bogart's house."
"What exactly does unauthorized permission mean?"
"It means the Trenton PD primary on the case, Gary Marble, will look the other way while I'm in the house, but will charge me with breaking and entering if I get caught."
"And me?"
"You too."
"Yeesh."
Ranger drove across town and into an affluent neighborhood. Large yards. Large houses, lots of neatly trimmed shrubs and flower beds, landscape lighting.
"Have you been here before?" I asked him.
"Yes, I talked to Bogart about a security system for his house. It wasn't a complicated job, but he was distracted by his problems at the plant and never moved forward on the house system. I think he felt he was capable of protecting his family. He has an extensive gun collection. I got the impression he'd be happy to find justification to use it."
"Did he carry?"
"Yes, always."
"Isn't that odd for a guy who makes ice cream and dresses his minions in yellow so everything looks happy?"
"Looking isn't being. Bogart was a businessman, and he wasn't happy. His business was going south."
A rangeman SUV was parked in front of Bogart's house. Ranger pulled into the driveway.
"Look out?" I asked him.
"Yes,
and if someone stops to ask, he can say we're running routine checks on the house for Bogart.
We got out of the Porsche, and Ranger strapped on a sidearm. He unlocked the front door, we stepped inside, and he switched a pen light on.
I want to do a quick walk through the entire house, he said, but I'm really only interested in his home office.
What are you looking for on the walkthrough?
Bodies, and evidence that someone has been in the house in the last couple days.
We covered the downstairs first and didn't find any bodies. The milk in the fridge was expired. The loaf of bread on the kitchen counter had some mold. The upstairs bedrooms were also body-free. Closets and dressers were full of clothes. Medicine cabinets were filled with the usual. The Bogarts obviously expected to return to their house. Bogart's home office was on the first floor. Ranger drew the drapes, turned the light on, and looked around.
No computer, he said. He worked on a laptop, and it wasn't in his office.
The camera should have been working when Bogart left the factory on Monday. Did he have his laptop?
Ranger called his control room and told them to have Tank run the Monday video and get back to him.
He went through the desk drawers and file cabinet, briefly looking through one file before returning it.
I was hoping to find some financial information, Ranger said. Everything is digital now, but most people still keep paper copies of loan agreements and tax forms. Bogart didn't have any in his office at the plant, and he doesn't have any here.
Safety deposit box? Home safe?
His home safe is small, just enough for some cash and a little jewelry. I'd proposed a larger safe installation. If he has a safety deposit box, it's not available to me.
Can't do your magical lock-opening thing on a safety deposit box?
I could, but I'd have to have a better reason than this.
Are you able to talk to his wife or daughter?
We had some initial contact, but they're no longer picking up calls. They'll sometimes answer a text message.
Are they really at Disney?
Yes, we can trace the location.
And Harry Bogart?
He used his cell phone to call the office to report the break-in. And an hour later, the phone didn't exist.
Tank called and told Ranger they had Bogart on video leaving his office. He had a computer case hung from his shoulder, and he was carrying a paper grocery bag. No way to tell what was in the bag.
We've been around the outside of his house, Ranger said to me. There's no sign of forced entry. So Bogart either had his computer case in his car when he went to the office in the middle of the night, or else someone drove him back here to get it.
He was wearing his pajama top when he got to the plant. Hard to believe he would have taken the time or had the presence of mind to take his computer, I said. Ranger flipped the light off and opened the drapes, and we left the office and the house. He stopped briefly to talk to his man in the Rangeman SUV before getting behind the wheel of the Porsche.
Let's see if Dottie is home, he said. Are you feeling lucky?
I thought about it for a moment and decided the answer was no. The neighborhood surrounding the button factory was asleep. No lights on in any of the houses. No car traffic. Dottie's house was dark. We parked on the street, went to the front door, and listened. All was quiet. Ranger was still wearing his Glock strapped to his leg. He had cuffs stuck into his gun belt, and he had a big boy maglite in his hand. I'd helped him clear a house before, and I knew the drill. He opened the door, stepped in, and I followed. Something went sprung over my head, an alarm gave three blasts of noise, and I was instantly covered in gunk. Ranger and I froze for a nanosecond.
Booby trap, Ranger said.
Dottie thundered down the stairs. Ranger caught her in a beam of light, and she fired off a shot. The shot went wide, Ranger shoved me to the ground, and Dottie ran for the back door. Ranger threw the maglite at her. It hit her square in the back. She said, "Ugh," and went down to the floor. Ranger had her cuffed in seconds, and he came back to me.
Are you okay? He asked.
I've been slimed. He flipped the light switch and looked me over. He swiped at the slime with his finger.
It looks like cooking oil, and it smells like bacon and fried chicken. Hang on until I come back with something to clean your face.
My face and hair were soaked with oil. My t-shirt was soaked, and my jeans were splattered with this stuff. I stood perfectly still until Ranger returned and wiped me down. Why me? I asked. You went through the door first, but you haven't got a drop of oil on you.
I'm special, Ranger said.
No doubt about that. He looked up at the top of the door.
She had a bucket rigged from a pulley attached to the ceiling. Pretty ingenious. When the bucket fell, it set off the alarm. It might have done her some good if she'd been sober.
It obviously wasn't rigged up when we were here last time.
I remember seeing the hook in the ceiling, but it didn't compute to be a booby trap.
Dottie was lying flat on her back, looking like a beached whale in a faded, multicolored floral muumuu. "How drunk is she?" I asked.
"Totally wasted. If I hadn't hit her with the flashlight, she probably would have fallen over anyway."
Ranger hoisted her up, dragged her to the Cayenne, and strapped her in. I was standing by the side of the SUV, and I didn't know what to do.
"I'm going to ruin your car," I said to Ranger.
"No problem. It'll clean up."
Ranger carted Dottie into the police station and returned with my body receipt. He drove me home and walked me to my door. We knew Morelli was in my apartment because his car was in the lot. Ranger opened the door for me and helped me in. I was trying to be careful not to get slime everywhere. Morelli got up from the couch and walked over. He didn't look all that surprised. He leaned forward and sniffed.
"Bacon? Fried chicken?"
"Booby trap," Ranger said. "You might want to try tomato juice to cut the grease."
He hung my messenger bag on a coat hook next to my door, and he left.
"Did he tie you to the roof rack, or did he actually let you in his car?" Morelli asked.
"What are you doing here? I thought this was poker night."
"The game broke up early, so I decided to surprise you."
"Give me a garbage bag for my clothes. I need to take a shower."
"I could help you in the shower."
"No, just get me the garbage bag."
Morelli came into the bathroom and stuffed my clothes into the garbage bag.
"Explain the booby trap."
I told him about Dottie while I soaped up. "I'll get a big recovery fee," I said. "She was a high bond." I rinsed the soap out of my hair and stuck my head out from behind the shower curtain. "Take a look at my hair and tell me if it's clean." Morelli got up and sniffed at my hair.
"It still smells a little like bacon, but it's not bad, especially if you like bacon."
I went back behind the shower curtain and shampooed my hair again. I stuck my head out. "How is it now?"
"It's fine," Morelli said. "If you scrub it any more, it's all going to fall out."
He pushed the shower curtain aside and did a slow appraisal.
"Anything else smell like bacon? I'm getting hungry."
Chapter 26. It was dark when Morelli left my bed at 5 o'clock. I opened my eyes, thanked him for his help with the bacon problem, and went back to sleep. When I woke up again, the room was still dark, but there was something off. The fog of sleep cleared, and I realized someone was moving in the living room. I heard the rustle of clothing and the soft scuff of a shoe. I called out to Morelli, but there was no answer. I was wide awake now, trying to steady my heartbeat. I lay absolutely still, straining to hear another footfall. The red LED on the light switch by my bedroom door suddenly disappeared, and I knew someone was in my room, blocking the LED with his body. I was paralyzed with terror, completely scrambled brain. I think my mouth was open, but I didn't hear any screams coming out of it. I heard him move toward me, saw the glint of a knife as it reflected the light from my bedside clock. I rolled to the other side of the bed and grabbed the table lamp on the nightstand. He lunged at me, and I swung the lamp, smashing it against his face. I saw the knife fly out of his hand, heard it clatter against my dresser. He was very close, and I could see that it was the clown. I could smell the grease paint on his nose and feel his breath hot against my face. He grabbed my throat, and I kicked out, and must have caught him in a strategic spot because he doubled over on a gush of expelled air. I jumped away and ran out of the room, through my apartment, and into the hall. I took the stairs two at a time to the third floor and rapped on Mrs. Delgado's door. She lived directly above me and was an early riser. I knew she'd be up watching the morning news on television. She came to the door, all smiles, lipstick on, dressed for the day.
"How nice," she said. "Would you like some breakfast, some tea?"
I was wearing bed hair, an oversized T-shirt, and panties, but Mrs. Delgado took it all in stride. She'd been through an apartment bombing, a kitchen fire, and an explosion with me, and I suppose nothing surprised her. Still, I didn't want to start her day with a description of my near-death experience, and I especially didn't want it to get back to my mother, who saw Mrs. Delgado in church every Sunday.
"I was hoping I could use your phone, I said. I have a mouse in my apartment. I need to call an exterminator.
Of course, she said. There's a phone in the kitchen. Let me make some fresh coffee.
I called Ranger and asked if he could come clear my apartment of rodents. There was a beat of silence.
Do these rodents have names?
Clowny. The line went dead, and I knew he was on his way. I kept my eye on the parking lot while Mrs. Delgado made coffee. A Rangeman SUV drove into the lot 4 minutes later, not Ranger's car. The SUV pulled up to the back door, and two men in Rangeman black fatigues got out and entered my building. My exterminator is here, I said to Mrs. Delgado. I should go downstairs to let them in.
Would you like a robe?
Yes, thank you. That would be great. I got so excited about the mouse that I just ran out of my apartment.
Understandable, she said.
She went to her bedroom and returned with a pink robe.
This should do, she said. You wouldn't want the exterminator to get the wrong idea.
I shrugged into the robe and padded barefoot down the stairs to the second floor. Ranger's men were standing at my open door. I knew one of them. His name was Calvin, and he was fairly new. I didn't know the other.
Ranger is on his way, Calvin said. Would you like us to clear your apartment of the clown?
I peeked into my apartment. No clown in sight. The clown has probably left, I said, but it would be great if you'd take a look around. They both drew their sidearms and moved into my apartment. I followed them in and checked to make sure Rex was unharmed. I didn't care what else happened to my apartment as long as Rex was okay. They moved through the dining area, the living room, the bedroom, and the bath. It didn't take long.
We didn't see any clowns, Calvin said, coming back to the kitchen. Your bedroom window was open, and I noticed you have a fire escape balcony and ladder. The clown might have left through the window.
As long as it's gone, I said. I appreciate that you got here so quickly. The clown was scary.
We'll wait outside your door until Ranger gets here, Calvin said. If the clown returns, just yell. And for what it's worth, I'm not crazy about clowns either.
I left the door open and started coffee brewing. The panic was beginning to leave me, but I was shaky from adrenaline letdown. I put my hands to the counter and told myself to breathe. You're good, I thought. You're not dead or hurt or anything. Ranger will be here soon, and he'll take you out for breakfast. Think about that. Pancakes and bacon, hash browns, scrambled eggs, real maple syrup on the pancakes. I was still shaking. Adrenaline, I told myself. It'll burn off. Hang on. Rex came out of his can and looked at me, whiskers twitching. I'm okay, I said. I'm fine. Rex thought about it and went back into his can. Animals have instincts, I thought. They know when people are okay. Rex decided I was okay, so I must be okay. I heard the guys in the hall shuffle around, and I knew Ranger was there. Not that I needed him because I was okay, but still, it would be nice to see him. He came into the apartment and closed the door behind him, and I burst into tears.
Babe, he said.
He wrapped me in his arms, put his face against mine, and kissed my neck. I was sobbing and sniffling and felt like an idiot.
It's the adrenaline, I said. I'm sorry.
Just breathe. It's okay now. You aren't hurt, right?
Right.
My men tell me your apartment is clean.
Right.
His hand was on my wrist, and I realized he was taking my pulse.
How am I doing?
I asked him.
You'll live. I wish I could get your heartbeat up this high.
I relaxed into him. Morelli left at 5, and I fell back to sleep. I'm not sure why I woke up. I guess I sensed something was wrong. I heard the rustle of cloth and a footstep, and I knew someone was in my room, and it wasn't you or Morelli. He came at me, and it's all a jumble after that. He had a knife. I hit him in the face with the lamp on the nightstand. He was close. He had his hands on my neck, and I could see that it was the clown. I could smell him. I could feel his breath on my face. I kicked out and was able to get away and run. I ran up to Mrs. Delgado.
She's the one with the cat, Ranger said.
Yes, I can't believe you remember that. He had me cuddled close, and he felt warm and strong and safe. I'm okay, I said. I was scared, but I feel better now.
Too bad. I like this.
Me too, but my nose is running. I need a tissue.
I got a tissue and followed Ranger into the bedroom.
I don't see a knife, Ranger said. What kind of knife did he have?
It was big, the sort of knife you'd use to stab someone.
He went to the window and looked out.
I assume this is how he left.
I wasn't here at the time, but that makes sense. The window was closed and locked when I went to bed.
Ranger closed and locked the window again.
Do you have any idea who was in the clown suit?
No. It was dark and everything happened fast. He didn't say anything.
Ranger picked my lamp up from the floor, set it on my nightstand, and plugged it in. It had a smear of blood on it. I soaked a paper towel with rubbing alcohol and wiped the blood off.
New bathrobe? Ranger asked.
I looked down at myself. It belongs to Mrs. Delgado. I left my apartment in a rush.
We need to talk.
Can we talk over breakfast? When I was scared, I thought about breakfast.
That's what you think about when you're scared?
It was a distraction. Pancakes, eggs, hash browns. Ranger smiled. I'd amused him again. He dismissed his men, and I took a fast shower. I got dressed in my usual uniform of jeans and a stretchy, girly T-shirt. I was at my front door, ready to leave my apartment, and Ranger stopped me.
What have you forgotten?
He asked. I looked at myself. Shoes? Check. Jeans? Check. Shirt? Check. Underwear? Check. Messenger bag on my shoulder? Check. Keys, cuffs, pepper spray, hairbrush, hairspray, gum, mints, extra hair scrunchie, lipstick, lip balm, mascara in my messenger bag? Check. I don't know, I said. What have I forgotten?
Your gun. Someone just broke into your apartment and tried to kill you. It might be a good idea to carry a gun.
I don't like guns.
Do you like dead?
No, I don't like that either. Ranger went to my brown bear cookie jar and retrieved the small semi-automatic he'd given me.
Do you have anything to put in this?
You mean like bullets? No, I keep meaning to buy some. He dropped the gun into my messenger bag. We stepped out of my apartment, and he watched me lock my door.
Here's a problem, he said. You have three locks plus a slide bolt on the inside of your door. It keeps you relatively secure. From this side of the door, you have just one lock. It's a good bump-proof lock, but it's still only one lock, and someone skilled can open it. I'm guessing that when Morelli left, you didn't follow him to the door to secure all your locks.
I nodded. You're right. I didn't do that.
When you enter your apartment, you need to clear it the same way you would clear a house when you're looking for an FTA. When you're inside, you need to use all the locks on your door, and you need to be vigilant when you're out. You also have the option of moving into Rangeman until we get this sorted out.
Moving in with Ranger was by far the safest way to go. Unfortunately, it was also the most dangerous, because it was impossible not to fall in love with Ranger's silky, smooth, thousand-thread-count freshly ironed sheets, his perfectly made, delicious organic breakfast delivered to his kitchen by the breakfast fairy, his Bulgari shower gel and fluffy white towels. And then there was Ranger. I almost had an orgasm thinking about it. The problem with all that falling in love was that eventually it had to come to an end, and the end would be painful. Chapter 27 We went to the diner in Hamilton Township for breakfast. I ordered pancakes, bacon, sausage, hash browns, scrambled eggs, rice pudding, and coffee. Ranger had black coffee. I drenched my pancakes in butter and syrup and took some for a test drive.
Yum!
It looks like you've recovered from your fright.
I've recovered, but I haven't forgotten. I'll be more careful.
There has to be a reason why you're being targeted. Initially, you were warned to go back to being a bounty hunter, and now someone has tried to kill you. Think about it. Someone feels threatened enough to want you eliminated. You must have seen something or heard something incriminating.
I can't imagine what it might be. It would have to be something really serious to warrant killing me.
Killing comes easy to some people. It's seen as a fast way to solve a problem.
Did you get the report on Soon?
He was born here but grew up and spent most of his early adult years in Hong Kong and Singapore. His parents were minor diplomats. Since returning to the States, he's been employed by several companies that ultimately failed. He was brought into these companies as a time management consultant.
Were any of them ice cream plants?
No, but they were all in New Jersey, eastern Pennsylvania, and Delaware. They all made products that were shipped locally and nationally.
I ate my last piece of bacon and spooned into the rice pudding. Are you thinking he might be mob? It was a classic mob maneuver to get their hooks into a company and then bleed it dry. Typically, money is borrowed with interest compounding so quickly there's no hope of repaying the loan. If the investment is big enough and the company can be used for mob purposes, they bring one of their own in to supervise on site.
It feels like mob, but we haven't been able to tie him to anyone, Ranger said.
So maybe Bogart brought you in as a last resort to protect himself.
Most likely he wanted the cameras to collect evidence, extricate himself by blackmailing the bad guys.
I'm thinking it didn't work.
I'm thinking we need to talk to Mrs. Bogart.
Is she still at Disney?
Yes. The daughter's cell phone moved to Miami, but Mrs. Bogart is still at Disney. If I can get a plane, we can be there by noon.
Ranger flies privately because everything he owns has residues of gunpowder, and he can't get past security. Tank drove us to the small business jet at Trenton Mercer Airport. It's not a big airport, but it's convenient, especially if you have your own plane. I've flown once before with Ranger, and, much like sleeping with him, it pretty much ruins you for the ordinary. Tank had exchanged my gun for one with ammo, and that was the extent of my flight preparation. No time to pack mouse ears. The plane seated 8 and had 2 pilots. There was a small hospitality area with drinks and snacks and sandwiches for lunch, and there was a pleasant little bathroom. No TSA agents, no unhappy children, cushy leather seats and lots of legroom, just Ranger and me. I buckled myself in and felt like a movie star. Tank had given Ranger a messenger bag with a MacBook Air and a stack of papers. No downtime for the man of mystery. I had plenty of downtime, and I spent it thinking about the clown and why I was a threat to someone. Dressing as the Jolly Bogart clown would serve a couple purposes. It was a disguise. He'd be unrecognizable on camera, though if the right people looked at the video, someone could probably recognize him. Someone would notice the way he walked, his height, his body build, his skin tone, his shoe size and style. I realized that I hadn't looked at his shoes when I'd looked at the factory video. I didn't know if he was wearing dress shoes or running shoes. I didn't know if he was wearing gloves so he wouldn't leave fingerprints. The guy who tried to choke me wasn't wearing gloves. I could remember the feel of his fingers closing in on my neck. Probably he'd left prints on my door. Probably I shouldn't have wiped the blood off the lamp. Probably I shouldn't have sprayed Lysol on the message on my door. Damn, I was doing everything wrong. So what was the other purpose for the clown? He was a big smudge on the Bogart brand. So far it hadn't gone public. I wondered if someone was disappointed at that. Who would benefit if Bogart ice cream tanked? Mo Morris. I didn't buy it. I thought Mo Morris was doing his own thing, and Mo Morris would have no reason to kill me. I'd worked in his plant for half a day. I'd spent a half hour at a bar with his son. Who else would benefit? Someone who was associated with Soon? Big question mark there, but Ranger would dig around and come up with a name. I looked out the window and saw coastline below me. I was going to Disney World.
Babe, Ranger said, are you okay? Your face is flushed.
I'm going to Disney World.
Have you never been there?
When I was 9 and when I was 14. How about you?
I never went as a kid. I went as a teenager when I was living in Little Havana. It was local. We'd drive up to Orlando and get there when the park opened. We'd drive back to Miami after the fireworks, 4 hours each way.
Did you love it? Was it magical?
It was okay. Not entirely my thing.
What was your thing?
I liked girls. I belonged to a gang. I was too cool for Disney.
How about now?
Now is a lot more complicated.
I know this is business, but can we go to the Magic Kingdom?
I'd rather set myself on fire.
We touched down in Orlando and left our messenger bags and guns on the plane. Disney World frowned on guns.
How are we going to find Mrs. Bogart? I asked Ranger.
She's staying at the Contemporary Resort. I have photographs and her room number.
How did you get a room number? This is Walt Disney World. It's like the Pentagon when it comes to security.
We hacked into their computers.
Our driver dropped us at the entrance to the Contemporary, and we walked into the lobby. Everyone was in shorts and colorful T-shirts and flip-flops. Ranger was in black fatigues and looked like he was doing recon for a SWAT raid.
Now what? I asked him.
It's lunchtime. We check out the restaurants and the pool. These people have been here for over a week. They aren't going to be standing in line for the Haunted Mansion.
Are you thinking Harry Bogart is here with his wife?
It's possible. This is a good place to hide.
Hiding in plain sight.
Exactly.
We wandered into a restaurant with a massive buffet. Everyone was having fun. Donald Duck was there, and I got a selfie with him.
This is so great, I said to Ranger. They have Mickey Mouse waffles.
He hooked an arm around me.
You like this?
I do. Can we stay to see the fireworks?
We'd have to spend the night.
Yes, that would be awesome. Oh, my God, is that Minnie Mouse? Can we have lunch?
We had lunch on the plane.
I know, but Donald and Minnie weren't on the plane. If we have lunch here, I can get more pictures.
Ranger looked over at Donald. Donald was waving to everyone and making Donald Duck sounds.
Babe, Ranger said, you need to focus. We're here to talk to Mrs. Bogart.
Sure, I know that. It's just that it's not every day you get to take a picture with Donald.
I don't see Mrs. Bogart here, Ranger said. Let's try the pool.
The pool was jammed with moms and kids and an occasional dad. Harry's wife, Susan, was poolside, reading a book. She was blonde and tanned and toned, the perfect corporate wife. She answered a call on her cell phone and glanced over at the hotel. She checked her watch and finished the call. Are we going to talk to her? I asked Ranger.
No, we're going to talk to Harry. He's in the room.
How do you know?
Instinct.
We went back to the lobby and took the elevator to the third floor. Ranger rapped on the door and looked at me.
Housekeeping, I called.
After a moment, the door opened and Harry Bogart stared out at us. The shock of seeing Ranger was obvious. He tried to close the door, but Ranger was already halfway in by then.
What are you doing here? Bogart asked. What's going on?
Two people had been killed. The jolly truck was blown up. And this morning, someone tried to kill Stephanie, Ranger said.
I don't know anything about any of that, Bogart said. I swear.
You went to the plant in the middle of the night in your pajama top. You walked into your office, and after a few minutes you left the building, abandoned your car, and disappeared.
I felt like getting away. I can do that. I own the company. I can do whatever I want.
I can do whatever I want, too, Ranger said, and I might feel like pitching you off the third floor balcony.
Bogart narrowed his eyes.
Don't threaten me. The tough guy act doesn't work.
I could see where Bogart might think this was an idle threat, but I've seen Ranger in action, and he doesn't make threats he isn't capable of carrying out. I saw him throw a man out a second-floor window once. He was a really bad guy, and no one much cared what shape he was in when he hit the ground, but still.
I need answers, Ranger said.
Bogart blew out a sigh.
I'm in a mess. I thought I could handle it, but it keeps getting worse and worse.
He removed a piece of paper from a computer case on the small writing desk.
This is what it's come to,
he said, handing the paper to Ranger. Ranger read it aloud.
Your time is up.
It was on my desk. Either I hand my company over to them or else I'm next in the freezer, Bogart said. I got a phone call from some man. I didn't recognize the voice. He said he just visited my office and left me a message. He said he was sure that I knew now what they were capable of doing. He said a lawyer would present papers to me first thing in the morning, and I needed to sign them. I got off the phone, and I was angry, and I guess I was scared. I don't even know what I felt. I wasn't thinking. I pulled on some pants and drove to the plant and went to my office.
Bogart's face was flushed, and he was breathing heavy.
It was like that scene in the Godfather movie where he finds the horse head in his bed. Horror. Panic. I was sick with it.
Bogart took a beat to get it together.
I ran. I didn't know what else to do. I knew if I signed the plant over to them, it wouldn't end there.
They'd have to kill me. I'd disappear like Jimmy Hoffa. So I left the car in a parking lot and called a friend I trusted to pick me up. I went back to the house, got some clothes and my computer, and had my friend drive me to the airport. I just wanted to get far away from them. I thought I needed to go someplace where I could figure it out. My wife was already here, and I thought it was a good place to hide. I mean, who would think to look for me at Disney, right?
Who's them? Ranger asked.
I don't know. I needed money, and Soon appeared. He represents a businessman who invests in growth companies. That's what I was trying to do. I wanted to expand. It seemed like a sure thing. Short-term loan. Almost immediately, bad things started to happen. Tainted ice cream. Freezer malfunctions. Jeff Soon moved in to help get things back on track. I was so stupid. Naive. I couldn't make my loan payments, so I gave him a piece of the company. Now they're making impossible demands, and people are dying. First, Ziegler. I have no proof, but I think they made an example of him because he was suspicious of Soon. And then Gus. I don't know why Gus was killed, but he worked the loading dock and maybe he saw something. Or maybe he was just convenient because he was usually the last man in the freezer. Soon wasn't happy when I hired Rangeman. I suppose Gus was another warning to me.
Why did you hire Rangeman? Ranger asked.
You have a reputation for being the best and for taking on special security issues. I hoped you might scare them off, that they would decide it wasn't worth the risk with you on board. I thought by bringing you in, I might get some control back. Maybe they wouldn't want to deal with you, and they would move on and ruin someone else. And if that wasn't enough, I was hoping to get something on them with the security cameras.
Why didn't you go to the police? I asked.
I can't. I'm in the middle of it. I'll go to jail. I'll lose my company. My God, I'm practically an accomplice to two murders. How do you explain something like this?
I want to see whatever documents you signed, Ranger said to Bogart. Do you have them with you?
No. They're in a safety deposit box in Trenton.
You're going back with me, Ranger said, and you're going to get the documents for me.
They'll find me and kill me, Bogart said.
I can keep you safe.
And the rest of my family, my wife and daughter.
I can put you all in a safe house. I'll straighten this out as best I can, but eventually you're going to have to deal with the police.
I don't see where I have much choice, Bogart said. I need a little time to explain this to my wife and my daughter. They know something is wrong, but they don't know the extent of it.
You don't want to tell them everything, Ranger said. Tell them only enough to make them cooperate. We'll fly out at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll make the arrangements.
We left Bogart and went back to the lobby. Do you think he'll still be here in the morning? I asked Ranger. Or do you think he'll run?
If he runs, I can find him. We can find his wife's and his daughter's phones, and I dropped a GPS locator into his computer case when I returned the note.
Chapter 28 We got a room, and we went to the Magic Kingdom.
You owe me big, Ranger said. This is worth a lot more than one night of fun at the Contemporary Resort.
This is the happiest place on Earth, I said. I heard it on television, so it has to be true. We were on Main Street with shops on either side of us. I need a T-shirt, I said, going into a store. I don't have any clothes with me.
Babe, everything has the mouse on it.
Not true. There are Disney Princess T-shirts and Tinkerbell T-shirts. And I need some undies. Don't you need undies?
I'll go commando.
I think it might be illegal to go commando at Disney. I pulled some boxers off a shelf. Buzz Lightyear.
I don't think so.
I could take you to infinity and beyond if you were wearing these boxers.
You're going to take me there anyway.
I got a hot flash. I'm a little flustered, I said.
Maybe this is the happiest place on Earth, Ranger said. I'm starting to feel happy.
I bought Tinkerbell panties and a pink Tinkerbell T-shirt with glitter on it.
We should go back to the hotel so you can put the panties on, Ranger said.
Not now.
When?
You have to wait for it. He wrapped an arm around me.
Tinkerbell brings out the best in you.
I wasn't sure if that was true, but the physical distance currently between me and my life in Jersey gave me a sense of freedom. Jersey seemed very far away in more than just miles. Instead of going back to the hotel, I think we should have ice cream and go on rides.
Don't even think about the teacups, Ranger said.
We watched the fireworks from Main Street and took the water taxi back to our hotel. Ranger called his control room to check on Bogart.
"He's still here," Ranger said to me. "I'll get a text if either of them moves."
I've spent some time in the bedroom with Ranger, but not lately. We have incompatible goals in life. It's hard for me to have goals beyond the end of the week right now. Things like marriage and children dangle in front of me, but I see them in the distance, as if I'm looking through Bernie's cataract. Ranger has big, long-term goals. Life everlasting and saving the world from evil. His short-term goal is to get me into his bed. I'm sure he has other short-term goals, but this is the goal of the moment. It's a decent goal, but it puts me between a rock and a hard spot. The Tinkerbell part of me was in a mental shouting match with the Wendy part of me. Tinkerbell was dying to sleep with Ranger, and she was telling me to go for it. Wendy was saying it wouldn't be the responsible adult thing to do, and it certainly wouldn't be a nice thing to do to Morelli. Ranger was watching me from across the room.
"Is there a problem?"
"It's our goals. They're different."
"Not at the moment."
"Long term. I'm drifting through life without direction. The only thing I see in my future is a hazy picture of marriage. You have a clear direction, and marriage isn't a part of it."
"This is true."
"So I need a man who shares my goal of getting married and starting a family."
"Do you have someone in mind?"
"Morelli." Ranger smiled at that. I narrowed my eyes. "What?"
"Babe, he's been stringing you along since you were 5 years old. You're no closer to marriage with him than you were in kindergarten."
"We might be engaged to be engaged."
"You're not sure?"
"Of course I'm sure." "Sort of. We just don't talk about it a lot." "In fact, we didn't talk about it ever." He avoided dinner with my parents, so he didn't have to talk about it. The subject never came up between us, not even during intimate moments. Plus, there was the billiard table. Initially, I thought he was saving his money to buy me a ring, but he bought the table with the money. Face facts, Stephanie. When a man is thinking about marriage and starting a family, he doesn't replace his dining room table with a billiard table. Besides, I don't even like billiards. "Son of a bitch," I said. Ranger gave me a slightly raised eyebrow.
"You've had an epiphany?"
Ordinarily, an unpleasant piece of news would send me to 7-Eleven to load up on Reese's peanut butter cups and pints of Häagen-Dazs. 7-Eleven wasn't immediately available to me, but I had Ranger. And Ranger was the mother of all delicious, self-indulgent treats. A peanut butter cup was chump change compared to the possibility of sinking my teeth into Ranger. Not that I would do any real damage, but the temptation was getting stronger by the minute. I mean, what the hell? I was at Disney. I was one step away from the Magic Kingdom. This wasn't the time to hold back on what might turn out to be the happiest experience of the day. In the interest of mental health, I needed to do this.
"Babe," Ranger said, "your eyes are dilated. Are you all right?"
I was better than all right. I was Tinkerbell, and I was about to uncork the bottle and release the Ranger genie. Ranger is an alpha male, leader of the pack, always. In the bedroom, he sets the pace. There's never an awkward moment because he's focused on the prize, the pleasure, the human experience. He knows where to touch. He knows when to ask the question. He's strong and hard where it counts. He's smart. He's patient. He's magic. In short, he assumes the decision burden that I was currently very relieved to give up, again, in the interest of mental health. "Bring it on," I said to him. "Let's see what you've got." I showered and got dressed in my new Tinkerbell t-shirt and panties. They were fun, but anticlimactic after the night with Ranger. "Are you coming to breakfast with me?" I asked him. "Goofy might be there."
"Going to pass. I'll have something sent up."
"You'll be sorry. You're going to miss the Mickey Mouse waffles." He stopped scrolling through emails on his phone and looked over at me.
"I like the shirt."
"That's nothing," I said. "Look at this." I unzipped my jeans and flashed him a look at the panties. He stood and slipped his phone into his pocket.
"The car is picking us up at 8 o'clock.
I looked at him in his black fatigues. "Are you really Commando?"
Only one way to find out, babe. How bad do you want those waffles?
It was early afternoon when I rolled into the Bond's office.
Good shirt, Connie said, looking up from her computer. I've always admired Tinkerbell.
I like the way she leaves a trail of fairy dust when she flits around, Lula said, but I think she's self-absorbed, and she needs to control that jealous streak.
Vinny is making noise about Quan, Connie said. He's a high Bond, and Vinny is worried he's going to jump.
I didn't want to ask Granger to help again. He had his own business to run, and he was busy with Bogart. The only way I could capture Quan before he was ready to get caught was to get him alone, without his posse. That meant surveillance. No problem, I said. Easy peasy. Tinkerbell was in the hood.
Lula was on her feet. I go with you. We might run into the Banana Man again. I've been thinking about him.
Running into the Banana Man wasn't in my plan, but I'd be happy to have Lula riding shotgun. Surveillance was boring at best. It was deadly when you did it alone. As soon as you went to find a ladies' room, the mark took off, and you didn't even know it.
Where are we going? Lula asked, settling into my car. Are we going to sit and watch his travel office?
It's a place to start. I drove to Stark Street and parked half a block away and across the street from Quan's office. Four windows ran across the front of the building on the second floor. Occasionally, a shadowy figure would cross behind a window. Occasionally, someone would look out. Not Quan. At 5:30, a black Mercedes sedan drove up to the travel office and parked. Quan and three minions came out of the building and got into the car. The car drove them to Sadie's steakhouse on Liberty Street. Everyone went in, and the car drove away.
They're having dinner, and we're sitting out here like hungry idiots, Lula said.
We're less than a mile from my parents' house, I said. We can hop over and get something to eat and be back here before they leave the restaurant. I called ahead to warn my mother that Lula and I were coming to dinner.
I have a ham, she said, and macaroni and cheese. There's plenty to go around. We're already at the table, but I'll put out two more settings.
Grandma was at the door when we stepped onto the porch.
Your mother's heating things up, she said. Good thing you came, or we would have been eating ham for a week. Whoa, Granny, Lula said. Badass hair.
I did it for my honey, Grandma said, but I'm thinking of kicking him to the curb. I might not want to be tied down to just one man at my age.
I hear you, Lula said.
I don't know if I want any man, Grandma said.
I'd rather have a dog, Lula said, but my landlady said it wasn't allowed.
We took our seats at the table, and my mother brought in reheated macaroni and cheese and green beans.
This is a feast, Lula said, forking into the ham. This is all my favorite food. I'm all about macaroni and cheese.
How did the Ziegler viewing and the funeral go? I asked Grandma. Did anything interesting happen?
First off, it was closed casket. A lot of people were real disappointed at that. You get dressed up and you make an effort to pay your respects, you should at least get something to look at.
I hear there was an overflow crowd, Lula said. Marjorie Benn said they were handing out numbered wristbands just to get in.
I was lucky. I went early. Even going early, I didn't get the best seat, but I still did pretty good. From what I saw, there weren't any Bogarts there. I think there might have been a couple people the Bogart bar man worked with, but I didn't know any of them. I heard the clown was there, but I didn't see him personally.
Was he dressed in his clown suit? Lula asked.
No, but you always know the clown by his red nose. The grease paint doesn't come off, Grandma said. Everybody was talking about it. You see the clown going around in his jolly truck, and you never think of the hardships of the job.
So if I want to find the guy who tried to kill me, all I have to do is find a guy with a red nose. I know Stan Ducker's shoe size was wrong, but until I find a second red nose, he isn't off my list. We left my parents' house a little before 7 o'clock. Sadie's steakhouse had a small parking lot, but there was on-the-street parking for the overflow. I drove up and down Liberty and through the lot, but didn't see the black Mercedes. I dropped Lula off, and I circled the block while she went inside. I picked her up minutes later, and she said Quan and his boyfriends were about to leave. I double-parked in the lot and watched the black Mercedes glide down the street, pick the man up, and glide away.
I bet he's going home, Lula said. He lives in one of them fancy high-rises. How are you going to get him once he gets in there?
According to his profile, he lives alone.
I'll knock on his door, and if he doesn't cooperate, you can tackle him and sit on him, and I'll cuff him.
That sounds like a plan.
I followed the Mercedes to a complex of high-rises by the river. I held back and cut my lights when the Mercedes stopped at one of the buildings. Quan got out. The three young men got out. The Mercedes drove off, and the four men went into the building.
Oops, Lula said. He might live alone, but he don't party alone. I bet these dudes are getting a bonus in their paycheck this week.
They could all live in the building.
You gonna go knock on his door to find out?
No. I'm going home. I had my gun in my hand when I got out of my car. I walked to the back door of my apartment building, practicing vigilance. I took the stairs, careful to listen for other footsteps. I walked down my hall, unlocked my door, and pushed it open, pausing for a moment before going inside. I stepped in, locked my door with all my locks, and cleared my apartment. I returned to the kitchen to say hello to Rex and give him a walnut. I put the gun on the counter in plain sight. I got a beer out of the fridge and rolled it across my forehead. I had the beginnings of a headache. Didn't get a lot of sleep at Disney, and it was catching up to me. I called Ranger to see if he'd made any progress.
I have Harry Bogart and his wife and daughter locked away in a safe house, he said. I have the documents I wanted from him, but they haven't told me much. I have someone working on it, tracing through offshore holding companies. I have someone watching soon, and I spoke to Bogart about drugs in his kids' cups. He swears he knows nothing about the drugs, but he knows there's theft from the storeroom. It was one of the reasons he wanted the locks changed and the cameras installed. He went pale when I suggested they might be shipping drugs on his trucks packaged up like ice cream.
Do you think that's happening?
I don't know, but I wanted to throw it out to see his reaction. I think it's possible. It would make the company valuable to a big-time dealer.
I ended the call with Ranger and dialed Morelli. He was on a night shift rotation, and I was sent straight to voicemail. I told him I was simply checking in. Just as well. I needed some time to come to terms with my Disney epiphany. Truth is, my relationship with Morelli was probably okay. It didn't really matter that we weren't engaged to be engaged right now. We cared about each other. We enjoyed being together. And maybe sometime in the future we'd move forward with the marriage and family thing. End of discussion. I went to bed early with my gun on my nightstand. It seemed like the sensible thing to do, but I wasn't entirely comfortable. My fear was that the clown would break in, I wouldn't wake up, and the clown would shoot me with my own gun. I woke up relieved that I'd gotten through the night and was still alive without any additional holes. I rushed through my morning routine and was out of my apartment by 7:30. By 8 o'clock, I was in the parking lot at Quan's condo building, waiting for him to appear. The black Mercedes drove up at 8:45. Quan and his three buddies stepped out of the building at 9 o'clock and got into the Mercedes. I followed the car to Stark Street and watched everyone file into the travel office building. I could have slept later. This was a bust. Connie was on the floor of the bail bonds office when I walked in. "What's with this?" I asked.
"She threw a back out," Lula said. "She was in her chair, bent over, touching up her toenail polish, and her back went out. So here she is on the floor, and she can't get up. You think I should call someone?"
"I just need a moment," Connie said.
"You wanted a moment a half hour ago," Lula told her. "How long are you gonna lay there?"
"I'm gonna lay here until my back feels better," Connie said.
Lula looked down at her. "What if that takes years?"
"It's not gonna take years," Connie said. "Get me a donut or something."
"You can't eat a donut like that," Lula said. "You'll choke to death."
"Has this happened before?" I asked Connie. "Years ago, I was in a step class at the gym."
"I don't get the whole exercise thing," Lula said. "Look at me. I don't get any exercise and I'm never hurt. That's because I pace myself when it comes to activity. It's my observation that there's nothing worse for a person's health than a gym. It's all designed to get you to strain something."
"Can you move?" I asked Connie. "You aren't paralyzed, are you?"
"No, I'm just in pain."
"Do you want an aspirin? Should I put a pillow under your head? Would you like a blanket?"
"Ignore me. I'll be fine. Pretend I'm not here."
"You better not be down on the floor like that when Vinny comes in," Lula said, "or he'll hump you like a dog."
"Get me my gun," Connie said. "It's in the bottom right-hand drawer."
I'm calling EMS, I said. You need help.
Hold on, Lula said. I got some meds from a trusted source. One of these might help you.
She pulled a small plastic baggie from her purse.
I had a killer headache from the headbutt, so I went to my pharmaceutical connection and picked up a couple